It's the top five on the Rokan Show. Five. Let's go.
Three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. It's the Rokan Show. Right here on 720 WGN. This is out 5-5 because it's 5 o'clock, and that means it's... That's what it means. That's not what that means.
Number 5.
Another technical. Another one. All right. There was fun and hilarity on Capitol Hill today. Shouting match broke out. Okay, so here's what's happening today. There is a Judiciary Committee hearing today of all the evidence that was culled last week and throughout the Intelligence Committee hearings. And so now there's a debate between the Republicans and the Democrats using these lawyers that the Republicans and Democrats had used last week to question the witnesses. And in the Intelligence Committee to question the witnesses, they are now witnesses themselves, which I don't quite fully understand. Not sure that's how that's supposed to work out. But they're the ones who are now answering questions. And one of them, the one that was representing the Democrats last week, Daniel Goldman, was being questioned. And then all of a sudden, a shouting match broke out between Matt Gaetz and Jerry Nadler, who's the chairman of this. Matt Gaetz is the guy from Florida, the congressman many people are accusing of looking like me on social media. We have the same hair and forehead. That's the only thing that I think is similar. And this all was precipitated by a question about, remember, the ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, had given $1 million essentially to get his ambassadorship by giving $1 million to the inaugural committee for Donald Trump. And then, well, all hell broke loose.
Be very careful about how you throw around dollars in giving, because you and Mr. Burke are real heavy donors to the Democratic Party. And I'm not going to say it questions your motive or your position here today, but we need to make sure that this thing is already blown out of proportion. We're already not answering questions, and you are here without a pen because your chairman will not testify. That says all we need to hear. He don't even stand behind his own report, and he sends you. I hope it works out for you. I'm done. At this point, I turn it over to Ashley.
Could I respond? Are you trying to say that what are you trying to say? What is the implication here? But by the way, I didn't give anything close to $1 million remotely, so I don't know.
The implication is we want Schiff in that chair, not you. The implication is the person that wrote the report is the person that should come and present it, and you weren't elected by anybody, and you're here giving this testimony in place of the chairman. I hope that clears up the implication.
The gentleman does not have the time, and the gentleman has been warned before. He cannot simply yell out and disrupt the committee.
Honest to God, there are kindergartens that are better behaved. When at juice time, they're better behaved. All right. Well, then, Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell, during some back and forth with the same witness, Goldman, says that really this is not about anybody but the president.
Is he an incidental player or a central player in this scheme?
President Trump is the central player in this scheme.
There's a reason that no one has said, what did the president know and when did he know it? From the evidence that you have presented, Mr. Goldman, and the Intelligence Committee's findings, we know one thing, and one thing is clear. As it related to this scheme, the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, knew everything.
All right. And Republicans are arguing that yes, he knew it, but he wasn't asking for a quid pro quo, so he wasn't really committing a crime, you could go ahead and impeach him, but they're not going to find him guilty in the Senate, and that's where we're left. We're actually, after all of today's hearings, we are not much closer to a solution, to an answer that would change people's minds that have already been made up. Joe Khalil from Nexstar, who is a correspondent in Washington, D.C., will get us caught up on this and the other big story coming out of Washington today as well. So that's coming your way at the bottom of the hour after the news. All right? I'm hoping that Christmas goes as well as Thanksgiving. There was, with the exception of just a little bit, and it wasn't even contentious. at Thanksgiving dinner. There was just a little bit of action on this. I think, by and large, Americans are just tired, just overwhelmed by this and the naked partisanship on both sides. And I just seems to me. And then we're going to head from this headlong into the presidential campaign. So all I got to say is the White Sox better be good next year. That's all I want to say. All right. Let's check in with Roger Badish and find out what's happening on the roads and in the skies. Wow. It's the Rokan Show. Right here, 720 WGN, top 5-5, we're all the way up to...
Number 4.
Defensive lineman Akeem Hicks, the Chicago Bears, addressed the media at House Hall earlier today and says...
I feel good. There's preparations that need to be made and some finishing and some cleaning up of things to do just to make sure that I'm prepared to play and do what I have to do out there and just going about it like a regular work week.
What do you want to see from yourself that tells you I'm ready to play in an NFL game?
The coaches hate this when I say this, but I just love to play good football. Like I don't expect any crazy things I don't want to play outside my norm. I want to play good football. That's all I like to do. Everything's going to come to light in those first couple of plays. There's nothing like that first moment of being back or stepping on the field and that first contact. You can simulate whatever environment you want, but there's nothing like it.
All right, Andy, I just have to ask you a question. Andy Mazur is in for Kevin Powell. Kevin and Lauren are in Mexico this week with the Chicago White Sox, and they're getting drunk with Ozzie Guillen as we speak. this Akeem Hicks, this move bringing him back, essential for Sunday against Green Bay.
Yes, in a number of different ways, just because he's out there, first of all, and because he takes a little attention away from Khalil Mack. If you realize and you kind of keep score, Khalil Mack has done a lot better as far as rushing the quarterback and causing a lot of havoc, as he's done when Akeem Hicks is in the lineup. Just plain and simple.
Yeah, I'm feeling particularly good about that move. That's the only thing I can feel good about. You know, and also the other thing about Akeem Hicks that makes such a big difference, he's a leader in the locker room.
Yeah.
And one of the questions that I've always had about this is when you're hurt, how does your leadership in the locker room go down? I mean, I know that you're... You know, on the field, it's one thing to run off the field and talk to guys on the bench, right, during the game. But aren't they still a presence in the locker room?
Yeah, a lot of guys will rehab with the club. And especially if guys in that locker room see you working your rear end off to get back onto the field, knowing how you respect the fellow guys in the locker room, they're going to respect you even more for your leadership in the locker room. And they know what you can do on the field already.
Yeah, so there we go. Yeah. So we feel good about that.
Absolutely right.
I think we're going to get a win on Sunday. I know. We're not going to make the playoffs because now it's almost mathematically impossible
to make
the playoffs.
It's hard. It's going to be hard, yeah.
Yeah, because L.A. winning yesterday was was half a dagger.
Yeah, that hurt.
Yeah, because you got to get past L.A. and you got to get past Minnesota.
Right.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
I'm sick about it already, too. You know, it's just, and, you know, Matt Nagy talking about it today saying, yeah, well, we did this to ourselves, and he's right.
Yep. That's true. Checking in at
number 3.
Well, Saturday Night Live decided to take on both the NATO summit and the Peloton controversy. They decided to take the NATO summit and make it into a high school lunchroom, essentially, where at the end Melania Trump had to come out and make a speech about not bullying each other in the lunchroom.
I'd like to tell you about Peloton. Are you a scared woman who's trapped inside a mansion? Why not imagine biking away from it all on Peloton? Merry Christmas to me.
I couldn't figure out where they were going to go with that because, like a lot of SNL bits, it was starting to run out of gas, and then they found a way to turn it back around. But back to the real Peloton problem, the guy who plays the husband in that commercial that has gotten so much social media backlash, which I believe has been completely precipitated by a Russian troll farm. He says he's not happy with all of this because he's getting hate mail.
I did see it. It was frustrating, actually, I'll be honest. I mean, they said the new Peloton ad is labeled as sexist. It was there in bold. And I disagree. They're reinforcing that that's what people are thinking about it. I don't feel that way. That's not the truth about the commercial at all. And so I know they're making a joke of it, but people are laughing at it and saying, haha, this is the truth. This is how we feel. I don't like it. I love SNL, but when they make jokes of things, I mean, they should see the Instagram DMs I have. It's hurtful.
I don't think they care. But I will say this. It is the stupidest controversy of 2019. It may be the stupidest controversy of the decade. And there have been a lot of stupid controversies. Because when you watch that commercial, you have to be like super awkwardly sensitive to think that that is fat shaming. There are a lot of couples. By the way, the actress in that was in shape. There's a lot of couples who like to work out together. They want to work out at home. The spin class thing is big. But Peloton, now by doing these home sales, is kind of eating away at the spin class studios. And so what if somebody wants to get in shape, right? Cardiovascularly or whatever it happens to be. We are so caught in you are offending me culture. Who is really the victim of that specific commercial other than the Russians who aren't doing as well in Peloton as we are? That's all I want to say. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Checking in at
number two.
Steve Harvey just can't catch a break. Nothing ever goes right for him. Guy can't find a job. Nothing ever happens for him. It's the mustache. And neither can Miss Philippines. Miss Universe host called out the correct winner this year, thankfully, of the costume contest last night. But the wrong contestant was standing beside him to accept the award.
Here's a look at the winner, Philippines. This is it right here. I thought I had on something fly, but girl, you just woo. Cake and oranges and potato chips. This is a lot. Yes.
It's not Philippines. It's Malaysia.
Okay, well, let me explain something to you. I just read that in the teleprompter. Y'all gonna quit doing this to me. I can read. It said now. They trying to fix it now. See, this is what they did to me back in 2015. Played me short like that.
You know what? He should not do the Miss Universe pageant.
That's what I was just going to say. You know, pick a different pageant or something.
Well, he's on everything else. I don't know that he needs a pageant. Does he need a pageant? He's pairing off a lot of his own shows. The talk show, right, is out of production. And the kids say the dumbest things or whatever that show is, right? Didn't they give it to Tiffany Haddish? I think he's still producing it.
Just stick to Family Feud.
Yeah, Family Feud. He's excellent at Family Feud. Let's go with that. Okay. Finally.
Number one.
Carol Spinney, the actor and puppeteer who portrayed Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch on Sesame Street, has died. Spinney joined the children's television show during its beginnings in 1969 and remained part of the Sesame Street team for five decades. He was mentored by puppeteering legend Jim Henson, and the two remained longtime friends until Henson's death in 1990. Spinney retired in 2018 after dystonia made the physical requirements of performing more difficult. He stopped the puppeteering for Big Bird in 2015, had only been providing the voice for him, for he and Oscar. In the documentary, I Am Big Bird, Spinney talked about how he almost gave up on being one of the most popular characters in the world.
At first, I didn't have an awful lot to do. Big Bird was barely in the show. He was just being introduced, and Oscar was too. I thought, I don't think I can stand coming here anymore.
For a while, I was sleeping on a fold-out couch up in Spanish Harlem.
There was still trash in the streets, and I'm stepping over trash.
So I had the problem of what to do. I decided to quit.
I was going up the stairs to Jim's office, and Kermit Love was there, who was the builder of Big Bird, had become a good friend. He saw my grave-looking face, and he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going up to quit." He said, "You'll never get another opportunity like this again." I said, "Yeah, but I can't stand New York." He said, "It will get better. Just give it another month." Big Bird, at first, he was a very goofy guy, kind of a country yokel.
You're not a bird. I'm a bird. Birds are big.
And I said, you know something? I think that maybe he should be a kid. He just happens to be a big kid. The producers agreed. The scripts suddenly were all Big Bird and Oscar, and they were terrific. I couldn't even imagine how I could even have thought about leaving such an opportunity.
Carol Spinney was 85.
The top five at five.